Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about this kind of, is it imposter syndrome? I don't know. This feeling of not being good enough, that we don't have what it takes to make the next step, that kind of holds us down. And I want to kind of talk about how it's affected my life, how it's changed in my life, and just kind of hopefully give you some inspiration. Maybe you need it just in the moment, or maybe you need it in a bigger part of your life, that, you know, your dyslexic mind is super excellent and we need to unleash it on the world. So let's dig into this episode. This episode is brought to you by RemarkableMinds.org. They create amazing courses to help adults with dyslexia master work, health, careers, and relationships. Head along to it. I'll pop a link in the description if you're interested in finding out more. Okay, let's dive into this episode. Now, what got me thinking about this? This is always the question. Recently, I've come across in my day-to-day life a bunch of people that are completely undiagnosed with dyslexia. I literally came across one the other day, sitting across from them in a meeting, and like they'd be 30 odd. You know, they'd been lucky enough to have a great family, a great mother and mum and dad who'd, you know, really built them up. And you know, this wasn't known at all. This hadn't been diagnosed, ever thought about. Using a bunch of solutions, they'd kind of survived and got through life. But literally in the meeting, you know, they mentioned that they sometimes flip letters on the page, you know, and I was sitting there going, wow, so that just wasn't picked up, you know, it just wasn't looked at. And he would have been in school maybe 15 years ago. So it just reminded me just the number of human beings out there that have lived with dyslexia. ADHD as well is another great one that doesn't get picked up in a lot of people. And, you know, they've managed to do pretty well in life. You know, and, you know, I think what I find interesting with those situations is because I know myself so well and I've met so many of us out in the world and I've seen so many variations of us, we are such different people. You know, we can come across someone and we don't look the same at all. Our lives do not track even close in the way we've succeeded or not succeeded. But there are a bunch of things that are exactly the same. Completely the same in how we deal with anxiety, depression, how we deal with the highs and lows in a very specific way, how our emotions are like a massive roller coaster, you know, how our visual minds are kind of the key to it all. If we can access those, we, you know, all this stuff is very similar. And all of these things have been used in such different ways. Because if you think about them, all of these points in our lives are just kind of, you know, clay to be molded. You know, everyone who's dyslexic has a similar type of clay, but your life is what molds that clay into a future. And so the clay can look very different at the end, but we've all got the same dyslexic kind of clay that we're working with that has certain properties we can't change. That's a good metaphor. I just came up with that on the spot. I'm quite proud of myself. You know, we've got to be proud of ourselves, you know, have those moments of good work. And this is what I wanted to talk about today, guys, is, you know, this feeling that we're not good enough, this feeling of holding our stuff back until it's perfect, thinking that people won't appreciate it, they won't get it, they don't care about it, they don't, you know, we're not good enough, you know, and this really comes back to this terrible feeling of not wanting to be hurt or rejected or being told we're wrong or being told the way we think is wrong. Many of us as kids got told this a lot. And, you know, I used to think, it's interesting, when I first learned about this side of dyslexia, where they say the average dyslexic child gets told they're wrong 20,000 times more, who came up with that? I have no idea. Who's counting that stuff? But, you know, the concept being is that we make more mistakes in school and in similar places. What I've noticed, though, as well, is we're also a lot harder on ourselves when we're younger. We are so hard on ourselves. When we do make a mistake, it's not like, oh, okay, it's a mistake, let it go. You know, I've learned that as I'm older and it's just golden. But like, I would, ruminate is the word I was looking for there. I would ruminate on these mistakes And so it was kind of like, not only was I being told I'd made a mistake, you could literally charge it with electricity to, you know, make it bigger. It kind of 10x'd itself every time I was told of a mistake. So it didn't matter how many times I got told, I made it much bigger in my head. You know, I created it as being a much more influential point in the world. That mistake meant something. That mistake meant in my storyline I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't as good as the person who didn't make that mistake. And so, you know, I built that up over years. I mastered, I put up a bunch of walls to, you know, kind of keep myself safe from that kind of thing. But it was always there. You know, it didn't matter how much you mask it. You know when something's not quite right, and when you know something's holding you back or holding you down. And I see so many dyslexic people that I talk to and deal with, you know, they are so brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They deserve that promotion. They deserve, you know, that next step in their career. They deserve to, you know, start a business, or, you know, to do more, or to be better, or to come out of their shell. You know, because they are good enough. They're brilliant. They just haven't worked out how to understand the way their brain has been designed or developed and understand that, hey, there is nothing wrong with that. It is just evolution. We are ahead of the pack evolutionary. And when you're the head of the pack, when you're stepping out of, you know, stepping into something that's new and different, there are going to be more mistakes. It doesn't matter. Leaders make more mistakes than the followers. It's just how it happens, because they're leading. They can't see what others have done before them. You know, I like, you look at this pandemic that we went through in the last 3 years, and how leaders, you know, across the world to different levels made a heap of mistakes. In hindsight, they all made a bunch of mistakes. There was not one leader where you said, that was fantastic, that was flawless. You know, they were all 60, 70%ers, you know, for different reasons. They all had different challenges. There was so much stuff happening, so much to organize. It was ridiculous in the grand scheme of it, really. And, you know, these leaders made errors. And people pick on them and pick up these errors when, hey, at the time, no one had a freaking clue what was happening. You know, so let's, you know, all of that stuff, right? And that's not a political thing. You know, there were people from the left to the right to the middle across the world doing this, and they were all stuffing up. So it was a grand scheme of, you know, craziness. So it's not about that. But what I'm saying is, as a leader, you make mistakes and you're ahead of the pack. And with my belief with neurodiversity is our brains have evolved to be a certain type of person and to lead the pack. And I do believe that, you know, for the dyslexic-minded person in this day and age, we are coming into our own. It has never been easier to, you know, start to move towards a life that you want. You know, the internet has changed everything. It has really changed the game. It's flattened the playing field. You know, years and, you know, if we think 30 years ago, you know, and you know, maybe, you know, in honor of Queen Elizabeth, who passed away, you know, she ruled for 70 years. Imagine if you were your exact same age you are today, but you were in 1952 when she started ruling, I believe it was, touch wood. You know, think about it like that. Like, how different is the world, right? You are so much more stuck into your little box. You got to do what you're told. You got to follow the steps you've been laid out in front of you. And, you know, you've got to do it like that. It's the only way. With the internet, I have access to millions of people. You know, this podcast, if I was to do this podcast even 10 years ago, it would have involved so much more equipment, so much more technology, where now I can just release my creativity and get it out to more and more people. I can start to do what I want, you know, to test things. I can try things. I can see what sticks. I can decide what fits me. And this is where the dyslexic mind is in a beautiful place. It is so free to be what it wants to be. You get to decide. You get to create what the life you want. Now, is it going to be quick enough? No. You will want it yesterday, and it may take 5 years. And you're probably sitting there going, that is a painful experience. As I know that, don't worry. But I can tell you, you know, what I've learned over time is, you know, the happiness is not actually in achieving something. You know, it is not in, I know it sounds weird, you know, it's not in actually getting the gold medal that you're happy. It's in the process to get to the gold medal. It's the years of getting to it. That's what makes you happy. And, you know, you talk to people who have won golds at the Olympics and other sporting events, and they go, man, that's, you know, it was great, but then, meh, lull. And they look back at the time of the build-up and the work, and it's, you know, that's the bit that they think, the relationships they built, the learnings, the way they grew into it, because it's a huge growth thing, you know. So what you want to think about is your goal is not the destination, it's the journey. But you've still got to type a destination into the GPS that's running your brain. The dyslexic brain is great at following a GPS. It's actually better than you think. It takes weird routes and you go, why did you go down that way? But it gets you there in the end. And it's usually a very fun experience with ups and downs, times where you're kicking yourself, times where you're jumping the joy and backflipping, other times where you're just laying in the pool, having a nap, relaxing yourself. Maybe not, don't nap in the pool. That's probably quite a dangerous experience. Everyone's pictured that. Don't do it. But, you know, your brain is running around doing a million things. That's what's so beautiful about it, the journey that it can go on. You know, and this is where I find if you're holding yourself back and you're not quite sure where to go next, is learn more. Keep learning about this dyslexic mind. Keep trying new things. Try things that will work for it, that nourish it. You know, allow yourself to realize that everyone in the world doesn't know what they're doing either. You're not any different to them. You know, and that's the big, you know, probably the biggest key I learned as I moved up, is that everyone doesn't know what they're doing. No one does. Everyone likes to think they do, but it's all made up. It's all stories. It's all fairy tales. And when you believe that and you go, that does make sense. If everyone's making this up, how can I ever, you know, how do I ever have to worry about this? And, you know, when I came to that realization, I started to flex the rules, and things worked and the world kind of moved. I started to create in my head what I wanted my life to be, to visualize it, to see it. And every day I'm moving forward and I'm grateful for where I've gotten to. And I look at it and go, wow, since I've learned how to do this, it's pretty powerful, right? It's pretty cool. It allows me to open up who I am and step out into the best version of myself. And I want that for everyone who listens to this podcast, everyone who's going to listen to this podcast. You know, if you've got dyslexia, it is not something to hold you back. You know, you can always work around it. You can always work with it. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, you are the people that are going to make differences. You're the people that can convince someone, you know, of something valuable that they need to know. We're going to move the world forward, and the world needs us. It doesn't need robots. Non-neurodiverse people, you know, are going to struggle more than us in the coming 50 years. Think about it like that. Robots are going to take over. Do you know what I mean? They're going to take over, you know, the day-to-day stuff. It's going to need the creative mind. It's going to need people who think outside the box and solve problems that robots can't at the moment, you know, until they take over. But that's another podcast. So I just want you to think about that. I want you to feel into it. I want you to think, how can you step up? How can you let go of the baggage that's holding you back? How can you do one thing that maybe scares you a little bit, but you know you've got it? You need to push play on that email that needs to go out, or you need to talk to that person, or you need to do something. What do you need to do that's going to push your life forward? Because that's the only place you can go forward. That's what I wanted to share, guys. Hope that's inspired someone out there. Have an epic rest of your day. Let your mind wander. Let your mind be creative. Let your mind find what it needs to find.